Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site and fm1032.com.au.
A bold and sexy new comedy, but some commentators are labelling it pornography and some Christian groups are actually calling for it to be boycotted. And of course I'm talking about Californication, the TV show that you've probably heard plenty about already. Well, our TV reviewer Mark Hadley has actually watched it to give us a review and then to... talk about all the other aspects of it that's going to come out.
Yeah,
so, Mark, welcome.
Thanks, buddy. I'm just laughing because I have watched it. Mm. You know, which for many people who are actually reviewing it, might actually be a mark of distinction because there's lots of people talking about it who probably haven't actually seen it yet.
I have not seen it. I don't want to see it. But I also believe that we shouldn't talk about these things unless somebody has seen it, and that's why it's good that we've actually got you in.
Well, just so everybody knows, I sat there with my wife the entire time. She's got perfect radar for when to look away.
Right. So, yeah. Okay. Now. Okay. You can come back now. All right. You've actually got to watch three episodes so far.
Yes, I've watched two that have gone to air in Australia, and I've been able to pull one down from the coming American episode.
What were your first reactions?
Well, look, it's really hard to watch the series without, from a Christian perspective, wincing. You know, and in fact, actually, you don't even need to be told to look away because you know that some of the stuff is just really, really graphic. Full frontal nudity, very, very out there language, very obvious sex scenes. Just the sort of, my practice when this sort of stuff comes on, in the cinemas of that sort of stuff as a reviewer is to really study my shoelaces. You know, it's just the nicest way to sort of get through it. And you can generally tell when it's finished and you look up and get on with the film. And I must have got a crick in my neck looking down so often, in the episode. So it's just kind of that way. It is very, very salacious. It's very titillating. It's it's just basically everything that you would probably not encourage somebody to watch.
Have we seen anything as bad as this or as explicit as this on TV before?
We've never seen never in such a condensed form. We've seen this there's nothing that we haven't seen in films in the same sort of time slot. There's no language we haven't heard before. In fact, there's nothing new. There's nothing terribly bold about it. I don't know where Channel 10 gets off saying that. But it's all featured in films before, but what we're seeing is basically a straight 30 minutes with it happening pretty much every 5 or 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is the storyline going anywhere, or is this simply gratuitous sex and nudity?
Yeah, I think that's one of the points that really has to be made here. And now I know that I'm going to step on some toes when I say this. And so I want to point it out before I even say anything. I actually don't think it's good viewing. I don't think people should watch it. But I think if people actually watched the program, they'd realize that it's not actually being promoted. You know, the idea that you have the title, Californication, people get the idea, it must be all about fornication and we must be promoting fornication, but it's not. In every respect in the program so far, your central character, Hank Moody, who's played by David Duchovny of, X-Files fame, is actually shown as a really sad character whose life priorities are completely mixed up, who's making a mess of his life, relationship after relationship, and it's all this casual sex that's basically like sex suicide. He's really hurting the people that he loves. He's messing up his chance to continue relationships with them. And he is coming to terms with that even. I mean, we're only two or three episodes in, and he's already starting to see that this cannot be all there is to love.
Okay. Right. Okay. So there is something there. You've got to raise the question as to whether that message will actually get through.
Sure.
If it's
sure.
so explicit.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the question. I mean, quite apart from the program itself, what do we do with it as a program for viewing? I mean, quite apart from the story itself might be quite justified. The producers might be happy to sit there and say, listen, we're not trying to push this lifestyle. And in fact, I mean, to underline it, all the people he sleeps with are the saddest individuals you've ever seen. They're dangerous, or they're self-obsessed, or they're just emotionally crippled. And none of them want to have anything to do with him either. So the producers are clearly not promoting sort of casual sex as a great lifestyle. Quite the opposite, in fact. But does it justify them showing what they're showing? Does it justify them, giving the conversations? I mean, to be honest, some of the more embarrassing things for me are sort of the way that people are speaking to each other and stuff like that. I regret that more than I regret some of the stuff I see. So,
You've been in TV for a while. You've produced TV programs for late night TV, which obviously puts you often side by side with these kinds of programs. Now, this one's come early, 9:30. What about the censorship issue? In the end, should this program even have gotten to TV in the first place?
Look, I really think that's a question that Christians have to wrestle with. Now, the thing I like to try and remind people about with censorship is it's a two-edged sword. You know, you've got to, the minute you start identifying something as offensive, you've got to remember that somebody can very easily use that term against the Christian religion to begin with. You know, some people find nothing more offensive than somebody to say, you are going to hell. Now, or the idea of saying that there is no way to God but through Jesus. These are terribly offensive terms in a postmodern society. So if we start saying we want the right to define offensive and we want offensive off the air, then we've got to be very careful about how that can be used against us in a different context. So that's the first thing I want to say. Having said that, there are some problems with the rating system we have on television. It's being given its most significant rating, which is MA 15+, which basically means that the consideration for those who have rated this program is that a 15-year-old, or actually 15+, so let's say a 16-year-old, is mature enough to sit down and absorb what's going on. I'm not really convinced of that. Or more so, I'm not really convinced that 9:30 is the time slot at which MA 15 plus should start, because I know plenty of 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds and maybe even some younger who are still up at that time.
We get calls from teenagers actually on Open House after 10 o'clock.
Sure.
And so, we welcome them, but that just goes to prove the point.
So the question is, to me, the problem is not going to be solved by, you know, look, my cap off to those, you know, concerned Christians who are taking particular action, but the problem is not going to be solved by picketing stations. The problem is going to be solved by picketing politicians. Now, that's probably where we really need to be.
Right. What about, though, there's scenes I've heard of, and you can tell me whether this is right. Well, the opening scene, apparently, in the first episode was sex with a nun, then sex involving an underage girl. Are they not alone, you know, enough to actually say a program like this shouldn't actually get away?
It's kind of funny. The sex with the nun scene, a lot has been made of that. It doesn't occur. It's suggested. The second is that in terms of the sex with the underage person, I mean, like, I don't really want to become an apologist for the program, but this is why it's so important to have seen these things. In the sex with the underage person, he was absolutely, Hank, the key character, is absolutely convinced that this person was, you know, old and consensual and all the rest of it. And the 16-year-old turns out to be this horrible, you know, manipulative character who's deliberately doing this to try and mess up his life.
Again, he's getting really this downward spiral for him.
So he's this anti-hero. There's no doubt about that. The central character is the person who's his own worst enemy, who you kind of want to get beyond this mess he's making of his life. So he's an anti-hero. Again, look, you could defend it all you like from the context of the program, but it really, for me, I think we've got to start asking ourselves, beyond the actual context of the program, is it healthy? Is it good? Yeah. You know, is it actually helpful?
Okay. Mark, can you hang around for a bit? Because I'd love to open up the lines for this and actually explore it a little bit more.
Sure.
1-300-40-20-20, give me a call. What do you think we should do with TV programs like this? And how do you think we should respond? Listening to what Mark said, maybe you've seen the program, maybe you haven't, but when it comes to programs that have kind of overstepped the mark, I guess, in terms of decency, what should we do? We talk about the group of Catholics that are actually holding a silent prayer vigil outside Channel 10 studios each time the show goes to air. The Australian Christian Lobby have actually called for viewers to boycott the show and not buy the products of those that are actually advertised within the show or either side of the ad breaks and things. Things like that. Others say that, look, action needs to be taken. You know, you always hear the phrase, well, if you don't like it, just don't switch it on, switch it off. However, there's a whole bunch of other people in society that are actually watching it. No man is an island. We all actually affect each other. 1-300-40-20-20, give me a call now. Tell me, what do you think we should do with TV programs like this and responding to them? What's the best way to do it? 1-300-40-20-20 for your calls, your idea as to what we should do when it comes to TV programs that step the mark. For instance, Channel 10's Californication. Steve's on the Sunshine Coast. Hi, Steve.
Yes, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for your call. What's your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I want to say I think Australian Christian Lobby do a great job. Jim Wallace and team, I really respect them, and that was where I got my alert. I haven't seen the show. I've read enough about it to suggest that it shouldn't be on air, and I thought a couple of things. First of all, a number of advertisers have pulled their advertising. Mm. Some didn't even know that their ads were being associated with it because they bought packages. So you feel sorry for them.
I think it was Holden and Holdproof that did that, I think, something like that. I think they've pulled their ads now.
Yes, yep. And I'm not sure if they're one of the ones who didn't know what was going on.
I think so.
But I think the best thing then is a multitude of letters and you're writing to your politicians and writing to the management of the station, you know, asking for the managing director to respond to you.
Mark, when it comes to writing letters, who's the best person to write to? The station, the politicians, the managers?
I actually think Steve's point's a good one, in particularly writing to politicians, because, look, you've got to remember the stations are a business, okay? So really, they're not factoring in, you know, your average Christian, if that person was writing, or in fact, middle-aged people who might be thinking a bit more about this issue than, say, an 18 to 35. They're not factoring that into their equation. So if they get letters from people, well, they'll nod, they'll go, yeah, we're actually causing a bit of a stir. They may even use it, you know, in advertising and things. It's weird how these things work. Politicians, however, they see that, you know, they see letter writers as a much more sort of touchstone to their demographic. Write to them. I mean, we've never had a situation in Australia at the moment where politicians would be more keen to hear from this sort of block of voters.
Okay, Angela's in Melbourne. Hello, Angela.
Oh, good evening, Sheridan.
Nice to hear from you again.
Thank you.
What do you think?
Well, firstly, I feel it's important that we do have a voice and that we do take some affirmative action. Mm-hmm. I personally, because two reasons, it's much easier, first off, to ring the station. Say if you are watching a program, and it could even be an advertisement that's offensive, to ring the station and to voice your concern or your objection. At least we will have done something. And then secondly, to following that up, would be I know that a letter, they say, is worth 10 phone calls or could be more. But in our society, it's, you know, it's so fast-paced, it's a lot easier to make a phone call. Often we'll think, oh, I'll write that letter, and we never do. But at least if we rang our local member and voiced our concern or our objection, it's better than nothing at all.
Hey, Mark, that's actually a really good point. When it comes to contacting the station and or the local member, when it comes to phone calls, just say, okay, you're saying in many regards, Channel 10, even if you're within their 18 to 39 year-old target demographic, if you're a Christian, they're not particularly interested in your comment anyway.
Yeah.
Just say you rang them. A whole bunch of people rang them. It would actually kind of get on their back a little bit more. Or
yeah, well, look, I mean, there's something to be said about that. But look, again, I can't emphasize enough, this is a business that works according to their market. Look, Angela's right. You know, these days, letter writing is almost a lost art. But can I say that email is replacing letter writing? You know, people are really quite quick about email, and you can get the email address of your local member easily. I really do think that the networks will hold themselves up as socially responsible. But in the end, you know, there's a way we can protest without actually giving them undue publicity. I mean, I think it actually doesn't help us a great deal to actually be on the sort of second or third page of the paper, making our protest just look like a lot of placard waving. We actually want to show people that we're considered, thoughtful, concerned. We actually want to say, hey, we're worried about this program because we love people and we think this is really going to hurt them. You know, but the best way to do this, to actually get a result and not really feed into the publicity machine of the papers and things like that, is to start bothering your local member, really.
Okay. That's actually a really good point. What is the message that we're sending if we actually do make some sort of action behind it? Are we actually saying this is dirty, rotten, which in many ways it actually is not helpful? But you're saying the message is, the message really should be, this is actually so bad, it's really not going to help you. And because we actually care about you...
Yeah, look, it's really important, you know, from my perspective as a television producer, I really don't want to have Christianity characterized as, say, you know, I mean, I realize that I'm trying to be careful about what we're saying in terms of the people who are genuinely trying to make their voices heard. So I understand that. But we don't really want to come off as global nannies or wowsers or things like that. Australian culture has a very strong sort of back kick to that sort of thing. What we can actually say is, hey, look, we are so concerned positively about kids that, you know, we've got a good argument here. 9:30 is just too early. You know, it's easy to make that argument as opposed to simply saying sex on television or outrageous, you know, when in fact it's going to be there whether we like it or not.
There's a bit of research that actually said, I think by the age of 15 or 16, 100% of all teenagers have actually seen porn. Those kinds of things are quite shocking. 1-300-40-20-20, we're talking about Californication or other TV